Welcome to Zichud Daf Sin Money Member by Ram Gold. All right, Anthony Masechta Zavodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin, the first parak, Lifnei Edehen. The Zichud Masechta Zavodah Zarah program has been dedicated to Zichud Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom, and Zichud Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Alav Hashalom. May the neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Eliezer was seized by heretics and later explained that he was punished for hearing and enjoying a heretic's explanation of a pasuk, thereby transgressing harchek me'aleha darkecha, distance your way from her, zominus, this refers to heresy, v'altikrav el pesach besa, and do not come near the door of her house, zohrushus, this refers to the authorities. In another version, minus and rushus are both referenced in the first clause, and the second clause teaches to stay far from znus. Rav Chisda said this distance must be 4 amos. This disagrees with Rabbi Padas, who said, "Lasr Torah el kriva shel gilui arayis bovad." The Torah only forbade the closeness of arayis themselves and did not require distance for amos. When Ula would return from yeshiva, he would kiss his sisters on their arms, some say on their chests. This apparently contradicts Ula's own teaching, kriva ba'alma asr. Any closeness between a man and woman is forbidden. Mishum lech lech amri nazira. Because of the saying, "Go go," we tell a nazir, "Schor schor lekarmel otikrav." Go around, do not come near a vineyard. Point number two, the Gemara relates the story of Elazar ben Durdia, who initially had relations with every zona and traveled far with a purse of coins for a zona he heard about. She blew with her mouth and commented that just as that breath can never return, so they'll never accept Elazar ben Durdia in tshuva. He went to sit between mountains and hills and said, "Harim ugvos bikshu alei rachamim." Mountains and hills beg for mercy for me. They replied that they first need to seek mercy for themselves. A similar exchange took place with the sun and moon and the stars and constellations. Finally, he declared, "Ein adavar tuli elabi." The matter depends on me alone. He placed his head between his knees and sobbed until his soul left him. A baskol announced, "Rabbi Elazar ben Durdia is prepared for Olam Haba." Rebbe cried and said, "Yesh kona olamo bekama shanim." There is one who acquires his world over many years, "V'yesh kona olamo b'sha'achas," and there's another who acquires his world in a single moment. He added, "It's not enough that they accept Balei Tshuva el shekorin osun Rebbe, but they even call them Rebbe." And point number three, Elazar ben Parton and Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan were both arrested by the Roman government. Elazar said to Rabbi Chanina, "Asherecha shenitfasta al davar echad, you're fortunate, for you've been seized for only one thing, teaching Torah publicly. Woe is me, for I've been seized for 5 things." Rabbi Chanina replied that Rabbi Elazar was fortunate, for he would be saved despite being seized for 5 things, but he would be executed despite being seized for only 1 thing. He explained that Rabbi Elazar engaged in both Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, where he engaged in learning Torah only. As Rav Huna said, "Kol osik b'Torah b'vad, whoever is only involved in learning Torah, doma k'misha ein lo elokah, is similar to one who has no God." Although Rabbi Chanina was the model manager of tzedakah funds and performed great acts of tzedakah, the Gemara explains, "K'deboy lo avit," he did not perform them as much as he should have. The Gemara describes how Rabbi Elazar ben Parton evaded all 5 accusations, some miraculously. When the Romans asked Rabbi Chanina why he was involved in Torah, he answered, "Kasher tzivani Hashem elokai," as Hashem, my God, commanded me, and he was condemned to execution by burning. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rabbi Eliezer was seized by heretics and later explained that he was punished for hearing and enjoying a heretic's explanation of a pasuk, thereby transgressing harchek me'aleha darkecha, distance your way from her, zo minus, this refers to heresy, v'altikrav el pesach besa, and do not come near the door of her house, zo rushus, this refers to the authorities. In another version, minus and rushus are both referenced in the first clause, and the second clause teaches to stay far from znus. Rav Chisda said this distance must be 4 amos. This disagrees with Rabbi Padas, who said, "Lasr Torah el kriva shel gilui arayis bovad." The Torah only forbade the closeness of arayis themselves and did not require distance for amos. When Ula would return from yeshiva, he would kiss his sisters on their arms, some say on their chests. This apparently contradicts Ula's own teaching, kriva ba'alma asr. Any closeness between a man and woman is forbidden. Mishum lech lech amri nazira. Because of the saying, "Go go," we tell a nazir, "Schor schor lekarmel otikrav." Go around, do not come near a vineyard. Point number two, the Gemara relates the story of Elazar ben Durdia, who initially had relations with every zona and traveled far with a purse of coins for a zona he heard about. She blew with her mouth and commented that just as that breath can never return, so they'll never accept Elazar ben Durdia in tshuva. He went to sit between mountains and hills and said, "Harim ugvos bikshu alei rachamim." Mountains and hills beg for mercy for me. They replied that they first need to seek mercy for themselves. A similar exchange took place with the sun and moon and the stars and constellations. Finally, he declared, "Ein adavar tuli elabi." The matter depends on me alone. He placed his head between his knees and sobbed until his soul left him. A baskol announced, "Rabbi Elazar ben Durdia is prepared for Olam Haba." Rebbe Kreiden said, Yesh kona olamo bekama shanim. There is one who acquires his world over many years. V'yesh kona olamo b'sha'achas. And there's another who acquires his world in a single moment. He added, it's not enough that they accept Ba'alei Tshuva, El Shekorin Osun Rebbe, but they even call them Rebbe. And point number three, Bo'lezer ben Parton and Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan were both arrested by the Roman government. Bo'lezer said to Rabbi Chanina, Ashrecha shenitfasta al davar echad, you're fortunate, for you've been seized for only one thing, teaching Torah publicly. Woe is me, for I've been seized for five things. Rabbi Chanina replied that Bo'lezer was fortunate, for he would be saved despite being seized for five things, but he would be executed despite being seized for only one thing. He explained that Rabbi Elazar engaged in both Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, where he engaged in learning Torah only. As Rav Huna said, Kol Osik B'Torah Blavad, whoever is only involved in learning Torah, Doma Kamisha Inglo Elaka, is similar to one who has no God. Although Rabbi Chanina was the model manager of tzedakah funds and performed great acts of tzedakah, the Gemara explains, K'deboi Lo Avit, he did not perform them as much as he should have. The Gemara describes how Rabbi Elazar ben Parta evaded all five accusations, some miraculously. When the Romans asked Rabbi Chanina why he was involved in Torah, he answered, Kasher tzivane Hashem Elokai, as Hashem my God commanded me, and he was condemned to execution by burning. All right, so now we get our Siman Daf Yud Zayin, and our standard Siman is a used car salesman. So here goes. The used car salesman who refused to sell a car to a heretic as he wanted to distance himself from Minas, sold one to a soon-to-be Baal Tshuva who had bags of money with him and planned to travel long distance over seven rivers, and told the two rabbis who wanted to buy the same car that the one who was Osik B'Torah and Gemilas HaSadim could have it, and not the one who was only Osik B'Torah. Once again, slow motion. The used car salesman, that must be more on Duff Yid Zion. The used car salesman who refused to sell a car to a heretic as he wanted to distance himself from Minas, which reminds us, Rabbi Eliezer was seized by heretics and later explained that he was punished for hearing and enjoying a heretic's explanation of a pasuk, thereby transgressing, Harchek me'aleha darkecha, distance your way from her, zu Minas, this refers to heresy, v'al tikrav el pesach besa, and do not come near the door of her house, zu harushus, this refers to the authorities. In another version, Minas and Rishus are both referenced in the first clause, and the second clause teaches to stay far from a zona. So the used car salesman who refused to sell a car to a heretic as he wanted to distance himself from Minas, sold one to a soon-to-be Baal Tshuva who had bags of money with him and planned to travel a long distance over seven rivers, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Maaser Rebbeleza Madurdia and the Zona and is coming to the realization regarding Tshuva that Eina Davatul Yelabi, and how Rebbe cried and said, Yesh Kona Olamo Bekama Shanim, there is one who acquires his world over many years, V'yesh Kona Olamo B'Sha'achas, and there is another who acquires his world in a single moment. He added, it's not enough they accept Ba'alei Tshuva, El Shekorin Osun Rebbe, but they even call them Rebbe. So the used car salesman who refused to sell a car to a heretic as he wanted to distance himself from Minas, sold one to a soon-to-be Baal Tshuva who had bags of money with him and planned to travel a long distance over seven rivers, and told two rabbis who wanted to buy the same car that the one who was Osik B'Torah Gemilas Chasadim could have it, and not the one who was only Osik B'Torah, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar ben Parta and Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan were both arrested by the Roman government. Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Chanina, you're fortunate, for you've been seized for only one thing, teaching Torah publicly. Woe is me, for I've been seized for five things. Rabbi Chanina replied that Rabbi Elazar was fortunate, for he would be saved despite being seized for five things, but he would be executed despite being seized for only one thing. He explained that Rabbi Elazar engaged in both Torah and Gemilas HaSadim, whereas he engaged in learning Torah only. As Rav Huna said, Kol Osik B'Torah Blavad, whoever is only involved in learning Torah, Doma Kamisha Inu Elka, is similar to one who has no God. So once again, the used car salesman who refused to sell a car to a heretic as he wanted to distance himself from Minas, sold one to a soon-to-be Baal Tshuva who had bags of money with him and planned to travel a long distance over seven rivers, and told the two rabbis who wanted to buy the same car that the one who was Osik B'Torah Ugmilas HaSadim could have it, and not the one who was only Osik B'Torah. All right, so now it's time for four Blah Bach Hazara. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simran Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy and his father, bar mitzvah boy, that must be on Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, which reminds us, the Mishnah in the previous Daf teaches regarding a city in which some of the shops are decorated and some are not, that the decorated shops are prohibited, but the undecorated shops are permitted. Shimon Lakish says the prohibition is only for shops decorated with rose or hadas, which were offered before the idol, because he benefits from their forbidden fragrance when visiting the shop. But if the shops are only decorated with fruit, they're permitted, although some of the profits will go to the idol, because the pasuk Yidbak biyadcha me'uma minacherem, nothing from the condemned property shall remain in your hand, implies that only then, deriving having benefit from idolatrous property is prohibited, but mahana, providing benefit to the idol, is permitted. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and prohibits even shopping in stores decorated with fruit based on a Kal Vachomer. If deriving benefit from a Avodah Zorah is prohibited, is providing benefit to it not certainly prohibited? So the bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, passed by a cow that a Jew improperly bought, collapsed on the ground after ikur was done to it, which reminds us, Rabbi Nassin says, that if a Jew does forbidden business in the market, behema te'akir, a purchased animal should be uprooted. Ikur is defined as he cuts the tendons of its hooves from the knee and downwards. The Gemara objects that this violates Tsar Baalei Chaim, causing suffering of living creatures, and answers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yehoshua to do so, indicating this is permitted to subjugate idolaters. So the bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, passed by a cow that a Jew improperly bought, collapsed on the ground after ikur was done to it, and stopped to buy new shoes from a Baal HaBayis She'ena Kavua, which reminds us, Rabbi Yaakov bought sandals at an idolatrous market, and Rabbi Yirmiya bought bread at an idolatrous market. The Gemara explains that both of them bought from a Baal HaBayis, a householder who does not collect taxes for the idol, but each thought that the other had bought from a Tagar, a merchant who does collect the tax. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiya made their purchases from a Baal HaBayis She'ena Kavua, a Baal HaBayis who is not established at the fair, and the priests do not collect taxes from such a Baal HaBayis. Daf Yadal. So the siman Daf Yadal is a yad, a hand, and we often use a juggler in the siman. So here goes. The idolater juggler, that must mean we're on Daf Yadal, yad, hand. The idolater juggler who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous Daf listed items which are always forbidden to sell to an idolater because they're used for idolatry, including certain fruits, frankincense, and tarnagol lavan, a white rooster. Rehuda permits selling a white rooster among roosters. Rabbi Zera said that if an idolater asks, Tarnagola me, who has a rooster to sell, without specifying a white rooster, one may even sell him a white rooster, because it's apparently not for a sacrifice. If he asks, who has a white rooster to sell, it's forbidden to sell him one, because we suspect it's for sacrifice. So the idolater juggler, who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, asked one merchant if he had a white one with a cut-off toe, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if one sells a white rooster alone, he can cut its toe and sell because they would not use a deficient animal for idolatry. Rav Ashi asked, Tarnagol Levan Ketula Mi, if an idolater asked, who has a white rooster with a cut-off toe to sell, is it permitted to sell him a Tarnagol Levan Shalem, an unblemished white rooster? Do we say that since he requested a mutilated one, it's not intended for Avodah Zorah, or do we say that he's being deceptive by requesting a Ketua knowing they're uncommon and is trying to hide his intent to use it for idolatry? So the idolater juggler, who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, asked one merchant if he had a white one with a cut-off toe, while his partner who wanted to juggle behema daka sheep was being turned away by all the merchants. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Malkum shenagolim kor behema daka lovdei kochavim, in a place where the custom is to sell small livestock to idolaters and not to suspect they'll have relations with the animals, which is forbidden for al b'nei Noach, it's permitted to sell them. In a place where the minhaga is not to sell behema daka to idolaters because they may have relations with them, it's prohibited to sell them. Daf tezvav. So the siman daf tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The idolater fruit bowl salesman, fruit bowl, that must mean we're on daf tezvav, tu b'shvat, fruit. Fruit bowl. The idolater fruit bowl salesman who was angry at a Jew who refused to sell him a behema gasa donkey to carry his merchandise, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that it's forbidden everywhere to sell behema gasa, large livestock, to an idolater. Rami Breda Ravieva explained, Gezer Mishum Nisune, it's a decree because of testing an animal before the sale. Sometimes a Jew may sell an animal close to Shabbos, and the non-Jewish buyer will ask to test the animal's ability to carry. The animal will hear its owner's voice and walk with its burden, which pleases the seller, and he thus violates Mechamrach Behemto B'Shabbos, walking after his laden animal on Shabbos. So the idolater fruit bowl salesman, who was angry at a Jew, refused to sell him a behema gasa donkey to carry his merchandise, was shocked when another Jew sold another idolater a cow, explaining that perhaps it was bought for shechita, which reminds us, Rav Huna once sold a cow to an idolater and explained to Rav Chisda why this was permitted. Emer l'shechita zavna, say the idolater bought it for slaughter, not for work. And the Mishnah's ban would apply to animals not commonly eaten, for example, horses, and are purchased for work, or wherever the idolater says his purchase is for work. Rav Ashi provides a rule, Koheka de ikla misla talinin, wherever one can make a reasonable assumption for a leniency, we make that assumption. Va'afogav de mitzuvah, even though he's commanded regarding the property's work. If there's no reasonable assumption for leniency, he cannot even sell something which is not his own responsibility because of lifnei iver for the buyer. For example, selling farming tools to someone suspected of violating Shemitah. So the idolater fruit bowl salesman who was angry at a Jew who refused to sell him a behemoth gazed donkey to carry his merchandise was shocked when another Jew sold another idolater a cow, explaining that perhaps it was bought for Shechita, but wouldn't sell a donkey to another Jew who was suspected of selling donkeys to idolaters. Which reminds us, it's forbidden to sell animals to a Jew who's suspected of selling them to idolaters, and we don't say that perhaps he's going to sell it to a Jew. Daf Tezayin. So the Simmer Daf Tezayin is toes. So here goes. The builder sold his fattened ox with big fat toes. Toes? That must be on Daf Tezayin. The builder sold his fattened ox with big fat toes, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Shor Shepatam Mahu, what's the halacha regarding selling a fattened ox which is unfit for work? The question is relevant according to both opinions in the Mishnah Daf Yudal on the base. Although Rabbi Yudah permits selling a shvura, a broken animal, meaning injured and incapable of work, that may be because it can never become capable of work, whereas a fattened ox, where if the buyer retains it and feeds it less, it comes into the category of animals capable of work, perhaps it would be forbidden. The Gemara continues and explains the Rabbanan's reason why, although they prohibit selling a shvura, they might permit selling a fattened ox. So the builder sold his fattened ox with big fat toes and his injured lion with large toes to a goy, which reminds us, in a discussion about whether one can sell a chayagasa, it brings a discussion of selling an injured lion which is incapable of work. So the builder sold his fattened ox with big fat toes and his injured lion with large toes to a goy, because they were useless in the building of a basilica stage for a king, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses which type of basilica is permitted to build for idolaters. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which stuff do we discuss whether it's permitted to sell a fattened ox to a goy? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number 2. Which stuff did we learn that selling a behemoth gazed to an idolater is forbidden? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you discuss doing business outside the city that is celebrating an idolatrous festival? And we have the case of a Jew and an idolater placing two pots on one stove. That's on Daf Yudbeis. Good. Number 4. Which stuff did we learn that Belezim ben Parta was saved from the Romans because he was Osik in Torah and Gemilas Sasanim, whereas Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan was not because he was only Osik in Torah? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you discuss burning a king's personal articles after his death? That's on Daf Yud Aleph. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we discuss selling a behemoth daka to an idolater? That's on Daf Yud Dalet. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you learn about Unko Sager and how he kept converting the Roman soldiers? That's on Daf Yud Aleph. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn about the Maisra of Belezim and Durdia? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn about the importance of distancing oneself from Minas, from heresy? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we talk about walking into decorated shops with rose or hadas in an idolatrous town? And the question whether the issue is only being nehne from Avodah Zorah or also being mahana Avodah Zorah. That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.